chapter. And I want to look at something that Jesus said and something that is being counterattacked today in our society and in our school, where they say there are no absolute truths. What is truth? Why is the truth not sufficient? In the Gospel of John, in the 18th chapter, Pilate asked Jesus a question. I'll just read that to kind of give us an introduction, if I may. If I can find it right quick. Well, I thought I could come turn right to it. Oh, here it is. In verse 37 it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had so said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all in this man. What is truth? What is truth? Our society's view of truth. I went on the computer and looked up some things. One of them said, we create truth, if there's any truth. It says, in accord with facts or reality or fidelity to an origin or an ideal. Another one says, what corresponds in the mind to what's outside of it. Well, now, I don't know all about that. However, Thomas Aquinas, a religious leader back, said something closest to all of it. He said, it is said to be truth which, with respect to the conformity with the divine intelligence, insofar as it fulfills the end to which it was ordained by the divine intelligence. He said, logical truth is based on the truth in things ontological. Modern age says it is a theory that is no... Let me see. No, I can't even read my writing. Modern age says it is a theory. There is no real cognitive definition. What children are taught has no respect to truth. Nietzsche said, search for truth or the will of truth is left up to the will of the power of the philosophers of our day. And I say there's a Greek word to that, and it is baloney. Jesus said, and I quote, and we'll read that in a minute, ye shall know the truth, and the truth might, if your rationalization is through philosophy, it might set you free. Is that what Jesus said? He said very emphatically, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Would you stand for the reading of God's word as we look together for just a few moments? I'll not go into much of the message because I know some are wanting to get to the funeral home. Got these 6 points and I don't have time for all of it. But why is the truth not sufficient? And as we look at this passage of scripture, we read through that. In chapter 8, starting in verse 30, he says, and he spoke these words. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall, what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The definite article, the truth. Two times he stated, the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham? Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we're not born of fornication, like you were. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow to give you thanks for today and for the privilege of life, for the greatness of your love, for the many ways that you demonstrate your love to us. We praise you and thank you, God, for your word and how we can allow you through the power of the Holy Spirit that had it penned years ago to make us and cause us to understand the truth and the reality of it. And I pray, Lord, tonight as we look together this passage of Scripture, that you will open our hearts and our minds and that you will illuminate your very person and power. And Lord, that we will come to know and to recognize and understand who you are and the meaning of truth. And I pray, Father, even now that you will anoint these feeble lips of clay. God, you will speak through them the truth of your word, that each and every one of us may be drawn magnetically to Jesus Christ. I pray, O Father, tonight that you'll help us to recognize and understand that you have a definite plan and a purpose for our life. And God, help us to recognize that it all revolves around who you are as being the reality of truth. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'll just have your will accomplished. You know each of our hearts. Pray you'll bless each one of us as only you see fit. And Lord, for those that's on our prayer list, those that are suffering, hurting, God, we pray that you will minister to their needs as only you can. Those that are hurting, those that are confined, Lord, those that are going through circumstances that they cannot understand or comprehend, God, meet their needs and help them in this time. But Lord, we look to you for what you can and will do. And even now, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you. May our hearts be open to understand your word, and may you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, speak and direct us. In Jesus' strong name we pray, and for his glory alone, amen. Why is the truth not sufficient? Why is the truth? That's what Jesus was really saying there. Because you believe me not. Why is the truth not sufficient? Was Jesus trying to relate to them some newfangled thing? What was Jesus trying to say to them? And we have a lot today that we can allude to, and we don't have time to go into all that. But the thing about it is do we know and understand the real truth of God's word? And I think there's some things that we need to look at as we go through this. We'll kind of hurriedly go through them. And first of all, the reason we're not the truth is not sufficient is because, see, they did not accept his character for who he was. And he states that back in verse 12. Look at that with me. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? I didn't hear y'all. Y'all back, y'all with me? Y'all didn't cut me off. In verse 12, 8:12, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is dealing with his character. John, in the very first, turn back to John 3 just a moment. In the very beginning, John said in this chapter, talked about this, and we know the verse, for God so loved the world in 3:16. Why don't you look at verse 19? He says, and this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be revealed. reproved or pointed out or discovered. So what is Jesus saying here? You do not, and the truth is not sufficient for you because you do not understand me. You do not understand my character because in the process of my life and who I am the related truth of who God is before you as visible. And that's exactly what Jesus got into problem with, is because he visibly lived out, if you please, the very truth and the word of God, and the religious leaders could not take that. They would not comprehend that. So they did not understand his character for who he was and what he was. But the second thing, the reason the truth is not sufficient, they did not really know his mission. Verse 18, he talks about it there. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Jesus is saying, if you back up to chapter 5:39, look at that verse just a moment. 5:39, look what he says. He says there, he told them as they tried to relate the scripture, he says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Look what he says. And ye would not come to me that you might have life. Jesus is relating to them about his mission, why he came into the world, and that was to display the very essence of God and who God was, his characteristic, his life, and what he could do and would do in the hearts and lives of men. So they did not understand his character. They did not understand his mission. They would not accept that, and therefore that caused all kind of problems. But see what happened? He bore witness of himself because of the infutability of the error of God's word. When we say that God is irrefutable, the word of God is, and we know that it's that because it depicts and talks about the very character, the very attribute of who God is and the Almighty God. And we know that John in the beginning says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's Jesus Christ. And because of him being the exemplification of the Word of God, they did not and would not adhere to that. So we see that they did not know his mission. But the third thing is they did not understand about the awfulness of sin. Look in verse 21, I believe it is, yes. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Why did Jesus pronounce that judgment on them? Because they would not and did not recognize who he was from a standpoint. They thought they were better than anybody else. They held their high, pious noses up above everybody else. And they kind of like little Jack Horner, they says, look at me, how good I am. Follow my example. Do as I do. Do like I do. Act like I do. But see, the problem is they were so caught up in their religious endeavors to promote their religious, I don't know what you'd call it, their religious ambition. And let me tell you something, their ambition was their self. The Sunday school lessons dealt with it good this morning because it talked about the motivation of why we give, why we pray, why we fast. And the motivation is not to be seen of men, but it's to be come in contact with God and to rely upon God and to glorify God in everything that we do as a child of good, that, a child of God. They did not understand the awfulness of sin. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death. He's not talking about physical death, just passing off the scene. He's talking about spiritual death, and that is continual, eternal isolation from God who is righteous. So there's more to it than that. See, they did not understand the law of the harvest because they could not comprehend that if they sowed to sin and sowed to the flesh, then they of that reap corruption. But they did not understand that. They did not understand the awfulness of their own sin. The fourth thing is I've got listed there, is because they did not realize the requirement of discipleship. Now, we could camp out here till morning. They did not understand the condition of discipleship. Look in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What's the key word in that verse? What is the key word? Would you say was the key word in that verse? Continue. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Let me tell you something. There are many people on our church rolls today, the only time they pick up their Bible is when they come back to church on Sunday morning if they come. Let me tell you something. You cannot be a disciple. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ without getting into the Word and then allowing the Word to get into you. Because see what transpires in our life as we get into the Word, and I think Jesus alluded to this time and time again, as we get into the Word, it changes our whole philosophy and our whole thinking about life and about who we are and whose we are, and then we come to recognize that we're here on God's design and by God's plan, and God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and we will not live until we find that. We can go through the motions. We can live or exist, but we'll never live. We can exist in this world, but we can never know what life is all about until we allow the Word to permeate our very being, our life, that it changes us. I'll guarantee you, if you will get into the Word, it'll make some drastic changes in our life if we will only allow the Word to speak to us, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to really zero in on our life. And the way we do that is as we study, as we read the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word. They did not realize the condition of discipleship. But Luke had something to say about it. Turn back with me just a moment. Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14. This is real... Verse 25, 14, 25, you need to write these down and study them. Let them sink in. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother, his sister, yea, even his own life also, he cannot, I didn't say that, Jesus did, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what is Jesus saying there? Are we supposed to hate our parents, hate our children? No, he's not saying that. But what he is saying, that when we put our priorities in the proper order and we love him and we worship him and we trust him the way that we should, all these other things will automatically come. But he says, you cannot be my disciple unless you put me first. Put me first. Boy, that's difficult, isn't it? That's kind of hard. Look what he said in verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. That means that we are to daily in our life, in the activity of our life, live under the very shadow of the cross, because it is the shadow, listen to me, it is in the shadow of the cross that we see what Jesus and how much he cared for you and he cared for me. He was willing to put it all on the line for us. And we're to live in the shadow of that cross because he wants us to recognize that that is exactly what we must be about as his children. To be willing to give our all for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to do that? Are we really wanting to be a disciple? I made a statement in our Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago. If we signed up or got a sheet of paper and signed up in the foyer, says we're going to have a study on what it means to be a disciple, a real disciple of Jesus Christ, I wonder how many would sign that sheet. How many would sign up? But see, they did not realize the condition or the cost of discipleship, what it meant, what it was, because the word disciple means action. Action for your master. The fifth thing, as we look at our outline, the fifth thing is because they did not and could not comprehend true spiritual freedom. We're having so much chaos in our world today. We just witnessed this past week of those four that were brought back because of them bombing or killing those there at our places, embassies around the world, or whatever you want to call them. But the thing about it is as they rolled those out of that plane and they brought them there, I thought within myself, here these four individuals, they paid the ultimate price so that you and I can know more about what freedom is all about. But the thing about it is, people who have a misdirected theology, and I believe that's exactly what these terrorists have. They have a misdirected theology. And you look at religion, you look at a bunch of religions, and they hinge on the wrong thing. They hinge on sexual activity, some of them, and Islam does some of it. Because those who are willing to sacrifice and give their life for the cause of Allah, then when they get to heaven, if they give their life, they get to be with 30 virgins. Hallelujah. But I got news for them. They're going to be with a virgin, but his name is Jesus Christ. They're going to stand before him. No, they won't, because they're already condemned. But here we see these things as happening. And what Jesus is relating there, they could not comprehend what true spiritual freedom is all about. Look in verse 32. And he, and ye shall, he didn't say you can think about it and meditate on it, but he says, you shall know, and that is a definite article. Definite article. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So if I read that and I can grasp that and I can take it into my understanding, what Jesus is saying, you cannot and no one can have freedom apart from me. You cannot. You cannot be a free people apart from me, because you will always be in bondage to sin. And let me tell you something. That's where many people are tonight. They're so stooped in their sin. They're so bound to their sin that they do not want to know and understand the truth. There is no truth, they say. But you know what? Here, when we think about spiritual freedom, Jesus offers to everyone that he can break the chains of bondage that they're in if and when they trust him. Moving on, the sixth thing. They were not aware of their own spiritual condition. For 42, look at verse 42 with me just a moment. He says, and you're of your father the devil. Boy, that was a slap in the face, was it not? He says, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Friend, let me tell you something. We wonder why children lie. They come from the devil. Devil is the one who instigates lies, and he causes us to be liars because we do not recognize the truth of who God is and what he wants in our life. But look what he says. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. That's why the truth is not sufficient. That's why it's not sufficient today, is because people simply will not trust Jesus Christ as being not the word truth, but the reality of truth. He said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way. And he's talking there about the expressway or the highway or the pathway, however you want to classify it. He is the way to God. And there is no other way. I don't care what other religions say. He is the only way to God. Singular. He says, I am the way. And then he says, I am the truth. And that term truth means without one hint of error. Nothing erroneous, nothing of error within it. Because he embodied the aspect of truth and what it is. And he is truth. But not only that, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot have and know the truth until you know the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. Period. He is the truth. There's not three sides to the coin. There's only two. There's the truth and there's the error. Many people today trying to make three sides to it, but there's only two. But the thing about it is we need to recognize that when you come to understand who Jesus really is, you come to know the truth. Because he is the very embodiment of the truth of God and who he is. Tonight, as we look at this, as we meditate on this, as we think about this, I hope this moves through our being this week as we think about truth. The truth. What is the truth? Our society says there are no absolute truth, but my Bible tells me that Jesus is truth, and we can know that truth, and we can understand what truth really is. Any comments or questions? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessed word, how you speak to us from your word. And God, tonight, it's one thing to know about the truth and another thing to know the truth. We can dismiss all the things that prove what truth is, but that does not alleviate the truth. We can try to erase it from our society by saying there's no such thing as truth. Truth is what you think in your mind if you want it to be true or not. But the Word of God tells us the truth because it tells of Jesus Christ, who is truth. And because of him, we can know what it means to live in a true relationship with God. Father, tonight, if there's one here that's never trusted you, may this be the hour, may this be the day that they say yes to you. Help us to realize, oh God, as we live each day, that there are people who are wanting, really wanting to know the truth and to see the truth. But we have covered it up. We have collared it up different versions, different ways. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the only truth. He's all we need to present to a world. As Brother Ibe said this morning, all we need to do as a people of God is to lift him up. If I be lifted up, he said he'll draw all men unto him. That's all we need to do is lift him up to a lost and dying world. God help us to do that is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hymn of invitation. Have thine own way.